fireside talks with us.
Yeah. Obviously, I was saying thank you again for all your kindness. You guys have been very thoughtful with food and with cards and gifts, and we're really blessed by being part of this time here. You don't realize it until you're in need how much people will share, but this is a body that's amazingly kind, and we're grateful. I wasn't sure how I'd be feeling after surgery, but I think I'd been a bit optimistic about how clear-headed I might be. As that was a little shaky, even as the week went on, I decided, let's read a devotion together and talk about it, because the pain was, I felt great. There's very little clarity there. So. I'm going to share from you from one of my favorite authors. If you've never read a book by Max Lucado, it's well worth finding one of his. Nearly every book that he writes, he finds ways to make Jesus real to you right where you are. And it's seeing Jesus, it's getting in the sand with him. He's an amazing author, and he's so good at communicating God's grace to us in amazing ways. And the one I chose to do is called Ordinary Places. You awoke today to a common day. No butler drew your bath, no maid laid out your clothes, your eggs weren't Benedict, and your orange juice wasn't fresh squeezed. But that's okay, there's nothing special about the day. It's not your birthday or Christmas. It's like every other day, a common day. You went to the garage, climbed into your common car, common cars that take you to your common job. You take it seriously, but you would never call it extraordinary. You're not clearing your calendar for Jay Leno or making time to appear before Congress. You're just making sure you get your work done before the 6 o'clock rush turns the loop into a parking lot. Get caught in the evening traffic and be ready to wait in line. The line at the freeway on-ramp, the line at the grocery store, the line at the gas station. If you were the governor or had an Oscar on your mantle, you might bypass the crowds, but you aren't. You're common. You lead a common life, punctuated by occasional weddings, job transfers, bowling trophies, graduations, a few highlights, but mainly the day-to-day rhythm that you share with the majority of humanity. And as a result, you could use a few tips. You know how to succeed at being common. Commonhood has its perils, you know. A face in the crowd can feel lost in the crowd. You tend to think you're unproductive, wondering if you'll leave any lasting contribution. And you can feel insignificant. Do commoners rate in heaven? Does God love common people? God answers these questions in a most uncommon fashion. If the word common describes you, take heart, you're in fine company. It also describes Christ. Christ common? Come on. Since when is walking on water common? Speaking to the dead? Common. Being raised from the dead? Common. Can we call the life of Christ common? 9/10 of it, we can. When you list the places Christ lived, draw a circle around the town named Nazareth, a single camel map dot on the edge of boredom. For 30 of his 33 years, Jesus lived a common life. Aside from that one incident in the temple at age 12, you have no record of what he said or did for the first 30 years he walked on earth. Were it not for a statement in Mark's gospel, we would not know anything about Jesus' early adult life. It's not much, but just enough thread to weave a thought or two for those who suffer from the common life. If you chum with NBA stars or subscribe to Yachting Monthly, you can tune out. If you wouldn't know what to say to an NBA star and you've never heard of Yachting Monthly, then perk up. Here's the verse. Mark 6:3. Is not this the carpenter? Told you it wasn't much. Jesus' neighbors spoke those words. Amazed at his latter life popularity, they asked, is this the same guy who fixed my roof? Note what the neighbors did not say. Is not this the carpenter who owes me money? Is not this the carpenter who swindled my father? Is not this the carpenter who never finished my table? No, these words were never said. The lazy have a hard time hiding in a small town. Hucksters move from city to city to survive. Jesus didn't need to. Need a plow repaired? Christ could do it. In need of a new yoke? My neighbor's a carpenter. He'll do it. He'll give you a fair price. The job may have been common, but his diligence was not. Jesus took his work seriously. And the town may have been common, but his attention to it was not. The city of Nazareth sits on a summit. Certainly no Nazarene boy could resist an occasional hike to the crest to look out over the valley beneath. Sitting 600 feet above the level of the sea, the young Jesus could examine this world he had made. Mountain flowers in the spring, cool sunsets, pelicans winging their way along the streams of Kishon to the Sea of Galilee, fields and fig trees in the distance. Do you suppose moments here inspired those words later? Observe how the lilies of the field grow? Or look at the birds of the air? The words of Jesus the rabbi were born in the thoughts of Jesus the boy. To the north of Nazareth lie the wood-crowned hills of Naphtali. Conspicuous on one of them was the village of Sepheth, known in the region as the city set upon the hill. Was Jesus thinking of Sepheth when he said, a city set on a hill cannot be hidden in Matthew 5? The maker of yokes later explained, my yoke is easy, Matthew 11:30. The one who brushed his share of sawdust from his eyes would say, why do you look at that speck in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? He saw how a seed on the path took no root, and how a mustard seed produced a great tree. He remembered the red sky at morning and the lightning in the eastern sky. Jesus listened to his common life. Are you listening to yours? Rain pattering against the window. Silent snow in March. The giggle of a baby on a crowded plane. Seeing a sunrise while the world sleeps. Are these not personal epistles? Can't God speak through a Monday commute or a midnight diaper change? Take notes on your life. Next time your life feels ordinary, take your cue from Christ. Pay attention to your work and your world. Jesus' obedience began in a small town carpentry shop. His uncommon approach to his common life groomed him for his uncommon call. When Jesus entered public life, he was about 30 years old. In order to enter public life, you have to leave private life. In order for Jesus to change the world, he had to say goodbye to his world. He had to give Mary a kiss, have a final meal in the kitchen, a final walk through the streets. Do you ascend one of the hills of Nazareth and think of the day he would ascend that hill near Jerusalem? He knew what was going to happen. 1 Peter 1:20 says God chose him for this purpose long before the world began. Every ounce of suffering had been scripted. It just fell to him to play the part. Not that he had to. Nazareth was a cozy town. Why not build a carpentry business? Keep his identity a secret. Return to the era of guillotines or electric chairs and pass on the cross. To be forced to die is one thing, but to willingly take up your cross is something else. Alan and Penny McElroy can tell you, the fact that they have two adopted children is commendable, but not uncommon. The fact that they have adopted special needs children is significant, but not unique. It's the severity of the health problems that sets this story apart. Selena is a cocaine baby. Her birth mother's overdose left Selena unable to hear, see, speak, or move. Penny and Alan adopted her at 7 weeks. The doctor gave her a year to live. She's lived for six. As Penny introduced me to Selena, she ruffled her hair and squeezed her cheeks, but Selena didn't respond. She never does. Barring a miracle, she never will. Neither will her sister. This is destiny, Penny told me. In the adjacent bed, one-year-old Destiny lay, motionless and vegetative. Penny will never hear Destiny's voice. Alan will never know Selena's kiss. They'll never hear their daughter sing in a choir, never see them walk across the stage. They'll bathe them, change them, adjust their feeding tubes, rub their limp limbs, but barring God's intervention, this mom and dad will never hear more than we heard that afternoon, gurgled breathing. I need to suction Selena's nose, Penny said to me. You might want to leave. I did, and as I did, I wondered, what kind of love is this? What kind of love adopts disaster? What kind of love looks into the face of children, knowing full well the weight of their calamity, and says, I'll take them. When you give up with the word for such a love, give it to Christ. For the day he left Nazareth is the day he declared his devotion for you and me. We were just as helpless, in a spiritually vegetative state from sin. According to Peter, our lives were dead-end and empty-headed. But God, immense in mercy and with an incredible love, embraced us. He took on our sin-dead lives and made us alive in Christ. He did all this on his own, with no help from us, Ephesians 2 says. Jesus left Nazareth in pursuit of the spiritual Salinas and destinies of the world and brought us to life. Perhaps we aren't so common after all. It's been a very common week of just sitting for me. A lot of sitting. A lot of sitting. And every time you get up, it's a lot of work, and you've had surgery, you know that. And you start to feel like you don't have a lot of use. You start to feel like a burden. And even though it's temporary, it's bothersome. Jesus never sees us as a burden. Our common life, our everyday mundane things that we have to get through, matter to him. Every bit of it. The big and the little. I hope that this week, when you're in the middle of big or little, you'll remember that. Jesus loves us in our mundane, common, ordinary daily life. Thank you, God, that you hear every word that we say. I know today, Lord, that there are people in our body that are carrying huge burdens. Lord, we lift them up to you. We ask that this week will be a week of hope, a week of some healing. We give us a chance, Lord, to reach out to those around us and make their life better, to encourage and to support, to love where you ask us to love. We're blessed to be your children. We thank you for that every day and for today. And it's in your son's name we pray. Amen. I don't know why I'm crying. All right. Will you be standing? May you find your Savior who's not so common in the midst of your common life this week. May you find opportunities to share that love. Go and love the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
Good job.
Good job.